Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Pro Advocate Radio, brought to you by My Advocate Center.
Welcome to Pro Advocate Radio with your host, James O'Brien, and Deb Beecham, the founder of My Advocate Center. Deb, welcome.
Thank you, James. It's great to be here.
Now, Deb, tell us a little bit about yourself. One of the things that My Advocate Center, well, basically what it does is it's dealing with family law and the pitfalls around that. Tell us a little bit about your background. How did you develop such a strong passion and interest in this particular thing?
Well, James, I believe I've been an advocate all my life. I'm starting at age 5 as the oldest of 4, and I think it's just in my wiring to look at problems and want to figure out how to make things better for people around me. So, you look back through your life and you see the challenges you faced and the skill set that you developed as those challenges crossed your path. So, you know, this was born out of an unfortunate situation, but I realized that things happen for a reason. So advocacy for me means addressing certain societal problems that have been worsening for decades. So this, what happened to me when I entered the legal system, I thought it was just happening to me. And I realized that, you know what, I'm not actually that unique. And the more I started asking questions, the more questions arose. So talking about these subjects is important because this form of advocacy is not in the wheelhouse of our traditional advocacy programs and nonprofits. It's a little bit of the big elephant in the room, if you will, that it's there. It's all around us. There are people struggling with conflict. It's a very uncertain path to resolve conflict. There's a lot of information that's not available to us when we need it the most. So anyway, I'm excited to be here. And I know that today's segment is meant to set the stage for conversations about these challenges. These challenges are faced by many families when they're dealing with unresolved conflict. Now, that doesn't have to mean divorce. It doesn't have to be a child custody fight. It doesn't have to be financial in nature. People fight about all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. And they often fight when they don't need to fight. And they often litigate when they don't need to litigate. So, but for us, because we're so focused on children, and I'm a mother first and foremost, that's what you'll see on my Twitter profile. I'm a mother. I'm actually a mother of twins. So I want to teach my children and other parents and children how to resolve conflict in better ways so that we're healthier, we're using our time more wisely, we're using our resources wisely. So conflict or doing battle can be highly uncomfortable to talk about, especially as it is often easier to blame and to be bitter than it is to problem solve. When you have to dig deep and really use your strengths and admit your weaknesses, that's very hard to do. And it's very hard to get along with each other after an argument. Many people would choose to just walk away or avoid the conflict, avoid an argument, when really it doesn't have to be that difficult. So it's something, you know, in our community, whether it's at school, at church, at work, conflict is something we want to back away from before it rubs off on us, right?
Oh, absolutely. And the reality is nobody has, you know, when you're young and you're making out your things that you think are going to happen to you in your life, I don't think anybody lists family court no. as part of it. It's not something we plan for. It's something that generally comes at the worst possible time. There's the people that you're talking about losing and battling with the person you've probably been depending on for years. So it is truly a house divided and leads to a lot of uncertainty. And I think a lot of people, because of fear, become very defensive, and that's what leads to a lot of the battles.
Correct. Yes, fear is at the core of so many issues, and it causes a lot of breakdowns in communication in relationships, especially in marriage. So we understand that we don't like, as a community, as society, we don't like to get involved in others' business unless we are in the business, getting paid to counsel, report to the family court, and getting paid to litigate. But of course, when something happens to us, to someone within our family, then what?
Well, and I think that's one of the things that's important about this is this touches a lot more people than people realize. And it's not, but it's not something people talk about openly. So you do feel like you're on an island. You don't necessarily have that support group. A lot of times your support group crumbles away when you enter into this arena.
Yes, I see that happening a lot. I have a lot of mothers and fathers who reach out on a regular basis. And some people specifically say, can you help me talk to my family? My parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, you know, nobody understands what this process is like and what I'm up against. And, you know, I didn't know that I could be falsely accused of that, mm-hmm. or I thought the facts of my case would matter. I thought the evidence would count. What's going on? There's a lot of uncertainty. And when anyone faces that kind of uncertainty and they're not sure what they can count on, that causes all kinds of distress. And do we make decisions well when we're under distress?
Generally, I know I don't.
No.
Well, and I know for me personally, I did get divorced. And just, I was the first divorce in my family. So just breaching that subject with the family, you don't know what kind of reaction you're going to get. That it's a very uncomfortable situation. I got a lot of support. A lot of people don't. There's still a stigma around being divorced, especially if it's something that hasn't gone on in your family a lot.
I'll never forget the first conversation with my mother about that. We don't get to. No, okay. So anyway, back to why we're here. The heart of the challenge we're addressing is that none of us are aware of just how convoluted and actually unsafe the family court system can be. So, well, for most of us, that is. We expect that the facts of our cases, the evidence, like I was saying, and the laws will be used to protect us, so we are caught off guard and unsure what to do when things don't make sense. That's the number one complaint that I get, is that what's happening to me makes no sense. And we see that once people enter the system in litigation, they're taught, you know, they're guided to not speak to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting now is that because of my Advocate Center being so available, having more information available to so many people who normally aren't talking, but they're now seeing the same messages, we're seeing parents who really don't like each other, don't trust each other, starting to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And they're learning that it's actually much more simple for them to get through this conflict than they previously believed. So we have some really interesting success stories that we're going to be talking about as we move forward. So I just had to share that. It's really exciting when someone says, you know what, we got to the right mediator and we talked and this is going to work out okay. You know, it's not great that we're getting divorced and we want better for our son and, you know, and for this next generation. We want to see fewer divorces. We want to see, you know, less doing battle over things that we really shouldn't be fighting over. So back to this, rather than get bogged down in what ails us, let's see what we can do by starting a conversation about solutions and options for doing things a little better than we've been doing for the last few decades.
Well, and I think, you know, the perception is, and I've heard people actually use this terminology, is comparing divorce to war. It's win at all cost. If the other side gains, that means I lose. And what we need to do, it seems like, is refocus on the children and look at this more as a business transaction where you can set some of the hurt feelings aside and just work towards what's best for everybody. Because at the end of the day, the battling and all, the only people who come out on the winning end of that is the lawyers on each side because they end up with all the money.
Correct. So what we've been finding as we are active on LinkedIn and in professional groups, I've spent a lot of time with professional associations, sitting in on legal forums, visiting law schools, and really just spending time talking to professionals in the hallways in the courthouses. And they'll give me stories and examples of how they are counseling parents to separate out the emotion, like you were saying, find the right counselors to deal with those issues, because those issues don't don't belong in litigation. Mm-hmm. So it really does make mediation possible when you can separate, you know, the hurt feelings from what needs to be accomplished. So going back to the conversation that we're having here on Pro Advocate Radio and what we're doing online with all the associated social media, and it's My Advocate Center is kind of an umbrella, you know, a center, like it's like the name says, for many groups and different special interests to come together and hash out, you know, the messaging and, you know, what's impacting us negatively and keeping us from moving on. How do men need to speak to women and vice versa? How do professionals and consumers, how do the parties and the professionals need to communicate so that we're all more effective? The bottom line is, are we serving the needs of our children? Are we setting them up to succeed? Are we helping families maintain stability? Are we enabling parents to stay at work when they need to be at work? Are they able to focus when they're at work? So we want to see more people keep their kids stable, maintain their homes, keep their performance at work where it needs to be. This is actually a pretty heavy impact item for HR departments at corporations. We see people losing focus at work, maxing out their sick days, and they wind up relying more heavily on health insurance mm-hmm. because the impact of stress is so significant. So this is not a gender issue, and it affects so many more people than we would imagine because people just don't talk about it. So some of the benefits of having this open conversation, well, first, it far outweighs the time that we have to spend and any discomfort about talking about family conflict. Because we are starting from the belief that we can do better. Imagine the example also that you set for kids when you show how to work through problems and how to ask for help. Imagine if our kids learn how to frame better what they need so that they can advocate for themselves at school, you know, in their team sports, on the field and on the court. When you can advocate, when you understand what you need and you know the right people to ask for help and you know how to frame what you need and then you know how to be satisfied when you get the result that's appropriate for your situation. So setting expectations is another really important subject that I know we'll get into later. So, James, what kind of impact do you think this conversation could have both short and long term?
Well, you know, to me, because I've talked to the professionals as well that are involved in this process, there's as much frustration amongst the judges and lawyers and healthcare professionals that are involved in the family court system. They know there's a real problem here. They're grappling with how do we deal with it. And the reality is it does take some outside-the-box thinking to change just the dynamics that are going on here. The vast majority of the people involved in the family court system are good folks that do a very good job.
Yes.
The problem is there are some out there that don't do a good job. And when you're coming into this, you're blind. You don't really know who you're engaging. And it only takes getting one wrong professional involved to have a disastrous outcome. So the effects on the family, on the work environment, everything are very far reaching. So this could be a huge conversation to have to really change the whole direction of our society.
Right. And well, like you said about the professionals in the court system, I've been in front of judges that you could tell they were very annoyed with the tactics that were being used, abusive litigation, dishonesty, a lot of wasted time. You know, we talk about how bogged down our court system mm-hmm. is. So just imagine, you know, if you actually had some accountability around the use of false allegations, for example, or if you have situations where a good parent is being falsely accused mm-hmm. of something that they didn't do, but it's designed to take the blame off the real offender
right.
in that case. So I've seen relief on the face of judges when they see a true advocate just getting the job done the mm-hmm. right way. And that's a really nice thing for me to see as an advocate who's, I've been in many counties in Georgia and in other states, watching these situations play out in court. And again, we can do better. And I think the professionals are as interested in seeing change as consumers, as parents and grandparents are. And I know the kids, oh my goodness, if they could have more time with their families mm-hmm. and less nonsense going on between families because of the, you know, the fighting that's induced by litigation. Kids are begging for parents to just talk to each other and work things out, have good boundaries. Mm-hmm. You know, if you know what the rules are and you know what the boundaries are, you feel safe, right? And a lot of kids right now, I have to tell you, kids do not feel safe because there's so much uncertainty flowing in the air. And flow is not the right word. It's more like a hard pounding thunderstorm. So that's not healthy for kids, and it's not healthy for their relationship with either parent.
Well, that's exactly it, because you have children being put into adult situations. A lot of times finding out things true or not true about parents that they have no business knowing. The reality is kids need to be able to be kids. And what happens in the, when it gets so contentious is a lot of time that ability to just be a child and to have permission to just love both parents instead of being put in a situation where they feel like they have to choose
right.
or, you know, answer questions that they really don't need to be involved in happens way too often when it becomes a high conflict divorce.
Right. And I'm going to insert a little personal note here, because the way our litigation went in my case 7 years ago or so, I believed all was lost. I didn't know then what was being said to the parties on both sides of the case mm-hmm. to make the fighting worse. And, you know, I was really discouraged, thinking, you know, my kids are never going to have the best of each of us. So it took a lot of digging in. And actually, we do have a success story in that our kids are as good as they can possibly be. And they have all the time they need with both of us. And we have a schedule that we, you know, have in place, but it's not so rigid.
Mm-hmm.
And the kids know that it's an open door going both ways. We work together. You know, there's a lot that can be accomplished if you set aside all these notions that are put in your head that it has to look and sound a certain way. It doesn't. You decide what works for your family and what's healthy for you, what's healthy for your children, what makes sense financially.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's guidelines that we're supposed to adhere to, but that doesn't always mean the guideline is the best solution. You have to use some common sense. And that's why I believe having the right team of advisors and people that you can go to, whether it's, you know, for an initial consultation or a second opinion, you know, we've spent a lot of time, you know, really doing due diligence on the industry and looking at the impact on families and thinking, you know, how can we build up a resource directory where people understand what kind of team they need to be around them to keep the conflict to a minimum, and they can transition through and out of the conflict as fast as possible, but as safely as possible, and be set up to succeed going forward. So, you know, I mentioned, you know, I'm pleased to report that, you know, what I thought was going to be a lifetime sentence
mm-hmm.
in my own case, you know, has turned out to be something that I feel like, you know, if we can do this, then other people can do the same. And I do have some other success stories around that to share later. But speaking to the broad term of family conflict, we'll be delving into issues like financial troubles, stress from healthcare issues. You see some people break up just because of the difficulty mm-hmm. of getting pregnant, you know, or people lose jobs. And so there's so many factors going into why there's a conflict to begin with. But we often go straight to the legal system or to attorneys rather than turning to a financial advisor or to a counselor who's really trained in high conflict.
Right.
And, you know, we can get into, you know, another segment about violence and addiction and financial fraud. You know, people do all kinds of things that lead to divorce and litigation. So we'll get into more, you know, further down the road. And we know that there's many factors contributing, like I was just saying. So over the last few years with my Advocate Center, we were founded in 2011. So we've taken a lot of time to analyze these cases and do a lot of research in and out of the courtroom, in file rooms, you know, looking closely at how the cases were managed, you know, what people were told, how they were guided to respond. So we're actually in a really good position to work with the best professionals and help people improve their outcomes.
Well, you know, and I think that's one of the things. It's not only getting professionals involved, but it's the right professionals. Not every counselor is appropriate for every situation, and it's knowing, and you know, that's not easy research to do, to get in contact with the right professionals to get the right outcome. And I think that's one of the places that you've shown me where my Advocate Center can make a big difference for people is pointing them in the right direction, giving them some folks that can address their specific problem. You know, everybody says, okay, I'll just go to a counselor. Well, if it's not the right kind of counselor,
correct,
it's not going to be effective and actually can make the situation worse.
Right. So I think we'll do a special segment just on, you know, the nature of family law attorneys and child custody attorneys and delve into that a little bit more. But so just to share a little bit about what we're hoping to clarify here. First, the process for overcoming challenges of all kinds in the family. How we prepare and budget, including our time away from home and work. You know we have a conflict that we have to get through, and it, you know, likely is going to lead to some litigation. So let's set our expectations. Let's look at not only what this is going to cost monetarily, but what it's going to cost to my relationship with my children, my time away from work. How is this going to affect my company, my employer? What kind of team we need involved based on the nature of the challenges faced, and what our expectations should be of the professionals and of the court and around our outcomes. I mean, people usually have an idea in their head about what they think their outcome should be, and they may be way off.
Right.
So looking at those expectations around the court and professionals is important. And then once it's done, how do we recover? You know, it takes some time to unwind from being caught up in conflict and in litigation. So how can we recover? And ways to manage all of this in a way that maintains stability and peace for children. It's always going to come back to that. If you look on our Facebook page, the My Advocate Center's Facebook page, and it's going to be the same thing for Pro Advocate Radio, it's always going to come back down to, are we setting up our next generation to succeed? So I get asked a lot, you know, about, you know, who I am. Occasionally you'll hear, Who does she think she is? So I'll start off with the basics. I'm a mother of twins, actually, boy-girl twins. They're fantastic. We're very blessed. I've been a wife in a long-term marriage. I've also been a stepmother, which is very important because there's a lot of blended families, and there's a lot of different dynamics that come in when you have a stepmother or a stepfather. I've also been a teacher in junior high and high school, and I coached cheerleaders and basketball players. And then when I had my twins and we got into the church league, so you have the cute, you know, little league. So I helped coach softball and baseball and a little bit of soccer. And it's just so much fun. I mean, if you said, what's your favorite thing in the world, you know, coaching kids.
Oh, there's nothing like it. I've got three daughters myself, spent about 12 years coaching fast pitch softball. And there's something special about that, to be able to spend time with your kids and other kids as well. Doing that, it's just kind of an escape from everything.
Right. And so this was pre My Advocate Center, pre-divorce. I'm out on the field with the kids in the dugouts, watching parents and children interact. And you can see how children feel about themselves based on how they feel about their parents. And the kids watch how their parents interact with each other and other people. So that made a very strong impression and is probably a big driver for me here. So my previous career was in sales, some marketing in the financial services industry. So I actually worked at Bear Stearns, which was right down the street. Mm-hmm. And then you go across the street, across Lenox and Phipps, and there was Dean Witter. So I covered the Southeast for Bear Stearns and Dean Witter wholesaling. And wholesaling is really just about problem solving,
right,
and setting up, you know, your team of professionals to succeed for their clients. So I was talking to a financial advisor in the family court arena, and she said, "Now I understand what you do. You're a problem solver. If you were a wholesaler and you helped advisors do good business and to increase their assets under management, then you can do this job. It's the same skill set." And I said, "Great, I'm glad you understand that, because it's not about how much money I make. It's like there's, and yes, we're here to drive revenue while solving problems, but the passion is seeing other people succeed and do their best." So that's how it all translates for me. So working with financial firms gave me also a chance to get involved in fundraising, because we would do golf outings, mm-hmm. and we do a lot of, there's a lot of golf around fundraising, isn't there?
Yes, there is.
Especially here in Georgia. So my other career was as a corporate wife, serving behind the scenes to see someone else succeed. And he's fabulous at what he does. He's a leader in his industry. So I'm going to do a little plug here that, you know, it's, you know, you get to know somebody over a long period of time. And, you know, you have some admiration for what it took to build and move your family around and see your kids succeed in spite of that. So hats off. So I'm grateful for what I learned and experienced in that role as a wife, stepmother, corporate wife. Again, a lot of fundraising. So when I transitioned and became self-employed and looked at what kind of business do I want to build and mm-hmm. who do I want to be now that I'm not, you know, that the tag along
right.
in that scenario. So now if you look at my LinkedIn profile, it mentions a mindset of mine, which is see the problem, fix the problem. And I also use the hashtag I dare you. So I like challenging people to solve problems. So, and that starts with me. So if I'm the problem and I can get help seeing that, then I have to fix it, right? So James, you're going to tell me when I'm a problem, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. So, well, just because I realized too late that I didn't have the right information and resources to navigate things effectively, well, it cost me. But just because I made those mistakes doesn't mean that I need to stand by and let other people make the same mistakes. So lesson learned, now it's time to use all of this in a positive way. So my experience in the legal process surrounding a family conflict taught me a lot, and it brought greater empathy. And empathy, I think, is the key word for today. When you have greater empathy for what so many people around you are going through, it inspires you to work a little harder to solve problems and create better options. So that's what we're here for.
No doubt about it. And, you know, my personal experience had got divorced. It was low conflict. It was not anything out of the norm. And it took a year to be resolved. And looking back at it now, had we just handled things just slightly differently, not a big change. We ended up basically where we started out.
Right.
But had we had the right people in place, and we had lawyers that did a fine job, not taking a shot at either one of them. But the reality was, with a little bit of cooperation, it could have been over much quicker, saved us a lot of money, but the biggest thing is saved a lot of heartache for our kids. And
absolutely. It's great that you recognize that. And I think that's where a lot of people are, that, you know, we might be able to get this done in 3 months, 6 months, little lower cost and lot less stress.
Well, that's it. The quicker you can make this happen, and it is just a matter of, as you said, the first thing that everybody wants to do is shut down the lines of communication. And as soon as you do that, there is no ability at that point to be able to, you know, to work together. Now it all becomes about the lawyers. And you are listening to Pro Advocate Radio with Deb Beacham, the president and founder of My Advocate Center. And we're talking about helping our kids.
Wonderful. Okay, so now that we've kind of set the stage, why don't we talk a little bit about what My Advocate Center is bringing to the table and how we're inviting other organizations and problem solvers to contribute. So,
well, and one of the things, Deb, that I wanted to touch on real quick before you go there is just talking about some of the raw numbers.
Oh, yes.
About how many, just how many people this affects, because, you know, if it's not going on in our life, we tend to not really maybe see. I think when I went through a divorce, I got a much, it was really a rude awakening as to how many people around me had gone through this process. When you're not going through it, it's not as real to you. But the reality is it's over 40% of first marriages, about 60% of second marriages, and in the 70s for third marriages, and affects about 50% of the children in this nation. I believe one of the stats I saw is 100 divorces an hour.
Oh, my gosh.
And the reality is whether it touches you directly, it's probably touched or will touch somebody that you love and care about, but it's the overall effect on the community as a whole, lost, as you touched on, lost time at work, lost the production for our local law enforcement, having to deal with false allegations and things like that. So it's a much broader and wider reaching problem than on the surface it looks like.
Yes, absolutely. Those are incredible. I think I'm still in shock over the 100 per hour. So yes, it's a high impact area. So I'm glad we're here. Thank you. And I really appreciate the station's letting us get on here and talk about some pretty tough issues. So looking at the vision for My Advocate Center, because, you know, of course, everybody says, well, what's your mission statement? What's your vision? So a simple way of stating our vision is to improve how families resolve conflict while increasing transparency and accountability in the legal process. So professionals in courts, in some situations, need more oversight. And those negatively impacted by the troubled systems need a way to protect themselves, and they need help recovering and then putting them in a position where they can help others make better decisions. So let's not keep repeating that cycle and these patterns. So in our radio conversation here, because we have our social media conversation, there's going to be a lot of overlap and intersection between social media, radio, and then of course we have many television, you know, hard-hitting investigative mm-hmm. news reports coming out around the country, and several here in Georgia. We've had a good bit in Atlanta. Augusta has a steady stream. The Augusta district, and Augusta is interesting. We'll get into more later, but Augusta is the second largest population center in Georgia. But if you look at the concentration of troubled cases and the issues right. going on there, oh my. And south of Atlanta in Coweta County and that entire district, we're seeing a lot coming out of there. So we see that the same problems are affecting everyone, mm-hmm. men and women, regardless of socioeconomic status, regardless of what kind of family you're from, what you do for a living, what color you are, what religion you are. It's affecting everyone the same way. So we want to help people explore options for resolving conflict, and in a way that means they don't have to go from bad to worse.
Right. Well, one of the things you shared with me that was kind of surprising is a lot of times it's the people on the upper end of the economic spectrum that get set up to fail in a bigger way in the family court system. One, they have more to lose, but if you have a bad professional becomes involved in their case, they can have a lot to gain. And so sometimes, you know, people assume, well, I don't have a lot of money, so boy, I'm set up to fail in the family court system. Sometimes it's actually the other way around. When you're on the upper end, you have a lot more to lose, and unscrupulous professionals can get involved in that situation and cause that divide, as we talked about earlier. You're already basically told to cut off communication. Well, if you're not communicating with your soon-to-be ex, that leaves a lot of openings for trouble to arise.
Yeah, we'll get into that gray area, I'm sure, in an upcoming segment. So, yes, when there's more money in the family, there's more to fight over. There's more fear of what am I going to lose, mm-hmm. because everybody's taught to believe there has to be a winner and a loser, and nobody wants to be the loser, so I'm going to just spend more and fight more, and it's going to go on forever. I had a case brought to me, actually by a reporter, brought a case to me where the family has $1 million in fees. And yeah, boggles my mind. So, but I also see families who really have nothing, but they have a child.
Right.
And the same thing will happen. I have another case. This is a Cobb County case with one little baby, short-term marriage. They kept the litigation going for 3 years.
Wow.
And in the end, the judge said, on the record, I thought this was going to be a fight about custody. And a few minutes later, he said, I thought this was going to be a fight about financial matters. And he's looking at the attorneys in the party saying, "What? Why have you been in my court for 3 years? Right. What's going on? Because there's not a lot of money to fight over. Mm-hmm. And you've got a parenting plan worked out. Why are we here?" So again, going back to common sense and keeping communication open and, you know, using mediation where it's appropriate, giving people a chance to work through the conflict. So, yeah, we'll get into specifics and case studies later.
Well, and that's one thing, real quick, without getting too far out into the weeds. One of the things that seemed like the great solution to that came around a few years back was bringing guardians involved. But a lot of people don't realize some of the pitfalls involved with bringing guardians in. You're really surrendering a lot of control when you do that.
Yes.
So that's something that we can do show after show about that. It's becoming a big issue right up to the Golden Dome there in Atlanta. But we'll be talking more about that. But that's something to kind of caution people about. It seems like a common sense solution. When you can't communicate, let's bring in somebody to take care of the kids. And it's not always what happens.
Right. When you add more layers into communications around a case, it creates opportunities for things to get confused. So, yes, guardian ad litems, the GAL programs, that's a hot topic. So we'll see a lot more coming out on that. So we're working very hard to engage professionals, really good, talented professionals who have great track records. And better than, you know, I'm not interested in your marketing material, what your website says, you know, what people say about you around town. This is not a popularity contest. We want to see who's adding value. Mm-hmm. Do the facts of the case get factored into the ruling? Do things make sense? Is the family, you know, in a manageable position moving forward? I'm not saying it has to be perfect.
Right.
You know, none of us are perfect. So our imperfections factor into this, right? It's not all about the professionals, and it's not all about the parties, and it's not all about the judge.
You know, it should be all about the kids.
It should be all about, exactly.
And unfortunately, that gets lost way too often in all the infighting.
Yes. So working on the resource directory of, you know, the best professionals who add value and who really care about having the right outcome for the family, that's a big focus for my Advocate Center. One of the, I guess, my marching orders for people is we want to preserve the family's resources, not only financial, but time, energy, emotion, and your reputation. Your reputation matters. All of this goes into improving stability, right? We understand the benefits of stability, but think about the family that's able to transition into their new world, and they can get back into volunteering with the sports teams and in school and spending time with their kids at the park and in the library, taking vacations as, you know, the new family. All of those things are more important than what you wind up with on paper. And that's something that it takes going through the process and losing a lot to really see that. And I have, you know, parent after parent saying, why didn't anybody help me put this in perspective? Mm-hmm. So perspective is a lot. So some of the offerings for my Advocate Center, if you're interested.
Absolutely. Tell us.
Okay. So number one is awareness. If we know what we need to know, if the issues are out there, if the information is available online, if people are framing things properly, awareness is key. So just awareness about what's happening in many situations where a family gets caught in litigation, we need to know what the pitfalls are. And we need to know that there's a safer way through it. So ideally, we would like to see more avoid those pitfalls of what we know is an adversarial system. That's how our legal system is set up. But to be more fully informed and better supported and protected. We all need and want to be protected as we deal with litigation and warring factions. So education, understanding what you really need, and knowing what you need has a lot to do with understanding yourself, your strengths and weaknesses. So what you really need to resolve the matter, what you need going forward, you know, so having the right planner, like financial planner, counselor, like what is life going to look like on the other side? And how to identify the professionals who will serve you well and add value. So protection, we'll get into that. I think protection needs to be a segment all on its own. So many of these cases intersect with law enforcement.
Right.
For, you know, good and bad reasons. So how to engage with law enforcement, if that's called for, and how to protect yourself is if someone is falsely accusing you or trying to set you up to fail. Oh, my. So we'll get into more along those lines. But we have a heavy focus at My Advocate Center on research. And it's research that will support more informed decision making, not only for parties, but for policy leaders and for law enforcement. And I've been asked at a high level to say, you know what? You have something that we need. You know, we're missing these insights and this information. So we want to see law enforcement set up to succeed as well. You know, we want to see our tax dollars used properly and wisely to protect our citizens. And we don't want to see innocent people shackled and locked up and taken away from their kids and their jobs. That's just wrong. So, so the research will help a lot with transparency around family court and around how cases are handled with law enforcement. So, and that's going to have a big impact on child custody decisions. So during an upcoming segment, we'll explain how our affiliate company will offer programs that support both law enforcement and government agencies and these professionals. So that leads us to reporting. And that's part of why we're on the air. We are reporting about the reality in and around family conflict, which intersects with court, law enforcement. So much of our work is actually looked at by other media, including investigative reporters who want to help make sense of why we see good parents taken away from children, why we see children way more stressed out than they need to be, and why we also see agency failures such as what we've seen reported on with DFACS. You know, DFACS is a pretty big subject at the Capitol and in the news media. And so we have a lot of insight to share with DFACS around these cases. So again, it's all focused on problem solving, you know, less on blame and more on solutions. And then, you know, we've touched on the resource directory. So that's another offering from My Advocate Center.
Well, Deb, thank you so much. I cannot wait to dig into this. This is going to be, I think, very informative to people. I think it's going to help strip away some stigmas that exist, some false beliefs that people have that will allow people to come out and have an open discussion about this.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, James.
Well, we're going to continue to dig in for the kids and get to the bottom of some of the things going on in the family court system here on Pro Advocate Radio.
This show is brought to you by My Advocate Center, the voice for families and family law advocates. Learn more at myadvocatecenter.com.